The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. Please take the roll.
Representative Peterson?
Here.
Representative Johansson, not present. Representative P. Wilson?
Here.
Representative Seaton?
Here.
Representative Keller?
Here.
Representative Gruenberg, not present. Chair
Lynch? Here. Okay. Thank you, everybody. With that, this morning we're going to be hearing HB 169, which is LAA review of proposed regulations. And we had HB 88 scheduled today. We're going to move that until Thursday. And so with that, please introduce yourself to the committee again and kind of bring us up to date where we were when we left off the last hearing on this. Oh, and by the way, before we begin, is Jeffrey Mittman online? Yeah, so I want to make sure he didn't torture him all the way through this one. Okay, fine. Please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Sarah Munson. I am staff to Representative Gatto. I'm here today to update you on HB 169, which is about our legal services division and who they may speak to and when they may speak to them about a regulation review process. In our last hearing, we discussed this bill, and I think we got a little far afield into the topic of regulation and regulation making and the review of regulation, which I think is a profitable discussion to be had. But I would like to call your attention back to what the bill itself does, which is it makes three very very concise points. I shouldn't say simple. That word got me into trouble last time.
Nothing is simple.
This bill basically says that legal services may have a certain list of people who can request a regulation review from them and a certain list of people who can receive the results of that review. Those lists don't entirely match in our current statute, so the bill takes standing committee and legislative council and allows them they are already allowed to request the review. We now allow them to also receive the results of the review. That's just kind of a technical change. It's fixing an oversight in the previous statute. Another thing that this bill does is it adds the prime sponsor of the legislation that is basically forcing the regulations to come about. So I know that there have been some concerns with the definition of newly enacted legislation, I know that legal service is a little bit hesitant to define that, because if we were to define it hard and fast in the bill, it may affect the other portion of the statute where it's used for their priority planning in how they, which reviews they do first. So if that's a problem, we are okay with removing the words newly enacted from line 8 and from, let me find it again, line 3 on page 2. If that satisfies the committee.
Okay, which one of us on the committee was concerned about that particular?
If I remember correctly, it was Representative Seaton, through the chair, sir. The last thing that this bill does is when currently when a legislator or a standing committee or whoever is allowed to ask for the review of the regulations, asks for that review, and the attorney who does the review finds that there's no problem with those regulations, they cannot communicate that no problems response just through oversight, I think, in the drafting of the statute. So now our bill allows them to contact, not necessarily in writing, they don't have to write a full memo, but contact and say, we found no problems with this regulation you asked us to review. These are the only three things that this bill does. So I just want to make sure that we focus in on those three things today and we discuss those. I understand there are some concerns with the regulation process as it stands, and I don't think that we are immune to those discussions. And I think that the sponsor has even said he agrees with a lot of those comments. But I don't know that this bill is a vehicle to fix those issues.
We can look at that at some future point.
Sure.
Okay.
And with that, I think my comments are complete. I would like to hear from Representative Seaton, I suppose, about whether
any comment from anybody on the committee to you and want to go to. And then we can do that, and then I'll open up for public testimony. I don't know. We have some folks here online primarily for questions. But why don't you go first, Representative Seaton, and then we'll get anybody else who wants to make comments where we are with that, and then we'll open public testimony and maybe close it rapidly thereafter. And I would like, if possible, to move the bill today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question was wanting to fully understand what we're passing, because we have terms in here and not understanding what those terms are, is problematic. However, removing the words broadens it out. My actual concern is that we have lots of pre-filed bills that will have many prime sponsors on it. And the question that I had is, does this put a burden on legal services then if we have a bill that is getting regulations adopted, and on page 2, line 5, it says the assigned attorney shall notify the prime sponsor in writing, but that's only if they fail to meet the guidelines. So I'm just concerned. I wanted to make sure that what we're doing is we're not expanding this further and many years back in history and trying to figure out how many prime sponsors. Normally we consider a bill to have one prime sponsor, but with all pre-filed bills, that's not the case. So I was concerned about understanding the word newly enacted. I understand there's a kind of a working definition of approximately 5 years, and they don't want to put that in as a hard and fast date, and I can understand that. But removing the language, I think, would broaden the requirements of the bill further, and so I'm not going to be offering the amendment, although I appreciate the sponsor getting back to us and letting us understand fully the terminology for what we're enacting. Thank you.
Very good. I'd like to point out, too, that we've been joined by Representative Johansson and now by Representative Grunberg. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't hold up the bill today either. However, I think that in the packet, by the time it gets to the next committee, if you would put in what B1, B2, and D mean, because you've got here as described in B1 of this section, but that's not in the bill itself, if you would get that and at least put it in the packet so that as we look at it, we understand exactly what this does, because it's kind of up in the air for me, and I'm, and then on page 2, it goes into D. So B1 and B2 and then D. That would be nice, I think.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I failed to put it in your packet, but it was on your table last time, and it may have gotten left behind. There is a two-page document that is the relevant section of statute.
Eddie. Back on record, please. I'm not sure where you were when we went off the record. Would you kind of reverse about 10 steps and then come forward?
Sure. For the record, again, this is Sarah Munson. I'm staff to Representative Gatto, and I was just answering Representative Wilson's question regarding kind of the context of this bill, the surrounding statutes, and that was at your places at the last hearing, but I know that often if it's not in the packet, it may get left behind, so I'm happy to provide that if anybody else needs a copy of that. It was just a copy of AS 2420105.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg.
Actually, Mr. Chair, is Ms. Baer?
Yes, we have here in the room, or someplace. We have Deborah Baer is questions. We have Steve Weber, Department of Law. We have Lisa Kirsch, and they're all here. Would you want us?
I would like to have the lawyers come up. because I'm not sure who I'm going to ask the question to.
You're all lawyers front and center.
I think Lisa must. Lisa's probably on the phone.
Or is somebody.
She's on the phone. These are.
Oh, she's on the phone. Debbie, you don't have to come forward. You're on the phone.
That's all right.
Okay. I did this. Did you have a question?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for any of the three lawyers, and it's.
Excuse me. Is she online? Was she going to hear? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for any of the three lawyers, and it's probably from an excess of caution. As I understand from what Ms. Munson said to me, the main purpose of this is to allow the communication between the Department of Law, with legal counsel, to allow that person to communicate with certain other individuals who are named in the bill, despite the general requirement that there be confidentiality between the alleged legal and everybody concerning all these matters. Assuming that to be the case, my question is whether this legislation, because it carves out an exception to the normal rule of professional conduct that requires that legal communications be confidential, because it carves out an exception, does it, in effect, constitute an indirect court rule amendment and require that that be in the title and in the body with a two-thirds vote?
Who would want to identify yourself, please?
This is Deborah Barron. I'm regulations attorney. I'd like Lisa Kirsch to, because it's basically her attorney-client privilege with you, Representative Greenberg. Go ahead, Lisa, please.
Lisa Kirsch, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Identify yourself, please.
Lisa Kirsch. I'm a drafting attorney at Legislative Legal. Representative Greenberg, through the chair, I do not believe that this requires a court amendment. I believe that it adds to our existing statute and doesn't really alter a court rule in that sense. It's narrowly tailored to capture those people who are able to request a review, but, you know, as Ms. Munson mentioned, through a drafting error, we can review on their request, but we can't inform them of the results of that review.
May I follow up, please?
Yeah, follow up.
Thank you. Ms. Kirsch, I would like from you in judiciary to provide a written legal opinion to that effect that we can put in the file. You may desire to communicate with Barr or the Ethics Committee. I would like that nailed down because I don't want the bill to fail on that account. And just for people online in general, that the line between what is or is not an indirect court amendment is somewhat obscure and confusing, at least to this representative. And I'm going to be asking that regularly when we come up into an area that may be considered indirect court rule amendments in various legislation. So if you could provide that, and I would request that you confirm that with somebody over at the bar if you feel that's necessary, but I want that in the file so there's no question. Okay? Ms. Kirsch?
Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a, can you do that?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I think that'll be a big, big help. Any further questions?
Nope.
Okay. Any other comments you'd like to make?
No. This is Deborah Baer with the Department of Law. I agree with Ms. Kirsch's analysis.
And sir, any comments?
This is Steve Weaver with the Department of Law through the chair. I agree with Ms. Kirsch's analysis.
Okay. Sound everybody here is pretty agreeable.
That's good.
Representative Seaton.
Since we have everybody, all the lawyers here at one time, I just want to get clarified what we had heard last time on regulations, and that was that these communications of after this review has taken place, the only restriction is for confidentiality on legislative affairs, and that anyone receiving that communication, whether it's reg review members or that's going to be the prime sponsor the past prime sponsor of the legislation on which those regulations are based, is free to release the memos from Ledge Legal addressing the constitutionality, unconstitutionality, the statutory infirmity, or whether it's consistent with statutes, to anyone they desire to release that to.
Ms. Kirsch, would you like to answer that, or I can, doesn't matter.
I could take that one. Representative Steeden, through the chair, I believe that that is generally true. The one caution that I would add is that if you receive this through your position on a committee, it may be that you need to be the chair of the committee, or you need to have the concurrence of the members of that committee.
Follow up.
So by having a requirement that it goes to the prime sponsor, and the sponsor would be free to release it unless they were a member of Reg Review Committee, is it then your position that we may be changing the confidentiality standard of legal opinions that are coming from legislative affairs on regulation reviews as to their constitutionality or unconstitutionality or statutory condition?
Representative Steeden, through the chair, this is Lisa Kirsch again. I believe that we are not altering the fundamental rules as far as confidentiality is concerned with memos. I think that if a memo is requested by a committee under ordinary circumstances, or requested, you know, if we have a work request, we ordinarily want that request to come through the chair of the committee, you know, for example, an amendment or anything else that we do here. Generally, those requests that come from a committee come through the chair, and then the committee is the holder of the confidentiality, which I think is a little different from an individual representative or senator requesting on their individual behalf. Then they are individually the holder of the confidentiality.
Follow up.
Thank you. So on page 2, line 6, where it says the assigned attorney shall notify the prime sponsor in writing if the proposed regulations fail to meet the standards set out in D, which is constitutionality and statutory affirmity. Our current system is that's communicated to the chairman of Reg Review, and it may be held in confidence through a committee decision. And this will now say that the prime sponsor of the legislation, which is in background for those regulations, will receive it, and there is no obligation, committee obligation, to maintain confidentiality of that legal opinion. And I'm wandering off into areas I'm not really sure about, but I think that's what I'm hearing you say. Is that correct?
Representative Steeden, through the chair, yes, that is generally what I'm saying, but I think what I'm also saying is that I don't know that that's a departure from existing confidentiality rules in the way that it would be treated. If I received a request for an opinion in regards to regulations, you know, entirely independent from this Reg's review process, if that request came to me from a committee, I believe then the confidentiality would belong to the committee. And if it came from an individual, I believe that confidentiality would belong to the individual. So I don't see this as a distinct change in how confidentiality normally works. And I would add that, you know, generally when I give anyone legal advice, I do encourage them to maintain confidentiality unless there's a good reason to release the document, because it's a valuable asset and is impossible to put back. You know, you can't get that cat back into the bag once the document is released.
Thank you. And for one follow-up. And I guess where I'm trying to figure out is that the case? I mean, normally that's the case with a requester, but what this bill is saying is that a non-requester, the prime sponsor of past legislation on which the regulations are based, is going to receive this memo as well, and so they're not going to be the requester unless circumstances just happen to be that that person is the chair of the Reg Review Committee. And so I just want to clear on the record is whether we are changing a perspective here on what the legislative affairs attorney is going to be distributing beyond requesters, beyond the committee, but to all the prime sponsors of the legislation on which the regulations are based, and that those people are not bound by committee standards or anything else and may release this without any violation of any terms. So that's, I'm just wanting to understand if that was the case.
Representative Steen, through the chair, yes, that would be the case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Representative Gruenberg, then Johansson, then Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to inquire in two areas. Number one, and I think this has been touched on, under the rules, the uniform rules concerning prime sponsorship, there may be a number of prime sponsors. You can, in fact, have 40 prime sponsors on a bill, technically, that's pre-filed. And I guess I've got to ask Sarah to answer this one, too, if she could maybe come up.
Well,
if you don't mind, because these questions relate to all these folks.
Go ahead.
Ms. Munson and anybody else, I'm going to say on the panel, what is the intent? Is it to allow them to consult and waive confidentiality for each prime sponsor? Could be all 40 members?
The Chair, Representative Gruenberg, again for the record, this is Sarah Munson, staff to Representative Gatto. The intention of the bill is to better allow legal services to communicate with legislators. So, yes, if there were 40 prime sponsors on a bill, legal services, I think, could consult with each of them. I don't know that they must consult with each of them, but according to the statute that we have written, according to the bill, it is a shall, so they must communicate the results of that review to those 40 prime sponsors if the review says that the regulations failed to meet the standards.
Mr. Chair, may I follow up, please?
One follow-up.
Then I would wonder whether you want to take this in this committee or in the next committee. Each time you say, quote, the prime sponsor, would you want to amend it to say each prime sponsor?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I don't think that there would be a problem in doing that, but I leave it to the committee to make that decision on language.
And secondly, the other area, and I'll deal with that further at some point here. When you're talking about, and this is for, it may be for the lawyers, it may be for Ms. Munson, when they talk about, quote, implementing newly enacted legislation, and talking about prime sponsor of the legislation, sometimes newly enacted legislation really makes, say, a minor change to an existing statute, or maybe even a key change. And so you have somebody or some people out there who enacted the initial statute, and then depending upon the nature of the amendment to it, the amendment may be more or less important. And it's kind of a sliding scale because it depends on the individual piece of legislation. And I'm wondering, I guess this may be more to Ms. Muzzin, I apologize. Would you want the LAA to be notifying the original sponsor of the bill or the sponsor of the tweak to it? I'm going to call it a tweak to put it in a really a difficult hypothetical.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I will let legal services correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, the existing statute would not be the newly enacted legislation. It would be the amendment to that statute, and I believe that if that amendment is what is netting new regulation and is not the original statute, I would imagine that it is only the tweak, as you call it, that would the sponsor of that tweak that would be notified, because the original sponsor of the original statute has already been notified, conceivably, of the regulations that came out of there. He would not, he or she would not be notified then of any changes to those regulations that came out of his bill, if that makes any sense.
If I may follow up with one.
Okay.
That will be true after this new law has been in effect for a while, but it's not true now. During the transition period, what should be done through the chair?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I will allow Lisa to answer that. I don't know what we're going to do in the interim. But
could we ask Lisa that question?
Yes, we may ask Lisa that.
Thank you.
Representative Grunberg.
And that's that's the end of my question.
What's that?
That would be the end of my questioning, if just one more question.
To
Ms. Kirsch.
Okay. You may ask her.
That's it.
I'll ask her through Representative Grunberg.
Ms. Kirsch. What is your answer to that?
I'm not sure I fully understood the question. Perhaps if you could outline it for me once again, if you could.
Yeah. Okay. Once this law has been in effect for a while, the effect of it will be that the original sponsor of the bill will have been notified when the original implementing legislations were enacted. And then if a tweaking amendment comes along, then the only person or persons who would be notified are prime sponsors of the tweaking amendment. That's after the bill's been in effect for a while. But at least at the moment, it could be quite a while, actually, the original, under the current procedure, no prime sponsors are notified. And if there's a tweaking amendment that comes through, would you then, for people who have never been notified, notify them as well, or only the sponsor of the tweaking amendment until this bill has been implemented for a while? I'm talking about a transition period here.
Is there anything in the bill that defines tweaking amendment?
No. No. But if we could, what would... How would the ledge legal handle that?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, this is Lisa Kirsch from Legislative Legal again. If you say tweaking amendment, are we referring to an amendment to a statute or to the regulation?
To the statute.
To the statute, okay. So if I understand the hypothetical, it would be we have legislation that results in regulation changes. When that occurs, if this new bill passes, we would notify that prime sponsor of that original legislation. And then you're saying some years later, another amendment to the same statute occurs, which results in regulation changes as well. And then who would we notify?
Mr. Chair, this is getting confused.
Yes,
this
yes.
goes to another committee. I think I'll talk to you off the record privately. Well, this is too complicated.
The chair concurs.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll take a moment to clear our minds.
are you going to tweak your mind there?
I'm just trying to simplify things, what I'm going to try and do. So, if I could start back from the beginning and just go through, if you, chair, would have just a little bit of patience with me. As I read the bill, there would be, to kick this off, there's a review that comes on with the regulations. Okay, section one, in conducting its review. So that's happening. The assigned attorney may consult with the prime sponsor of the legislation. May not consult. May. They might not. So that I'm not sure quite about. Somebody decides they want to consult with the sponsor. Somebody not. So if Representative Seaton had a piece of legislation and I wanted to review the regulations that were implemented underneath that, and he may be happy with them because they meet the intent of what he wanted, but I might not because I might not have liked the bill in the first place. So I can launch a review of the regulations and he wouldn't know about it necessarily because the attorney may or may not contact him as prime sponsor. So as a review goes on, he doesn't know that I'm poking into his business, or he might, depending on the whim of the attorney. I'm not sure how that works. And then as you go on to page two, it says once a problem has been found, he shall be told that I am poking around into his regulations of his legislation. I may not want him to know that I'm poking around in the regulations that implement his bill. And that's kind of where I'm trying to figure out exactly how this works. At the beginning, when there's a request, he may or may not be notified by an attorney. And then once we get into an area where the attorney says there is a problem, then he's immediately notified, shall be notified. So in the beginning, I can poke around all I want. If a problem is found, then basically I, as the requester, am outed to the prime sponsor of the bill, and everybody knows that I'm going after Paul Seaton statute. And that whole scenario makes me feel uncomfortable, and if you could explain me through that, if I'm totally off base or what the scoop is here. Did that make any sense, Mr. Chairman?
Everybody's shaking their head, yes.
It's good.
Ms. Munson.
Through the chair, Representative Johansson. First of all, I think it's important to note two things, that often these reviews are happening with or without requests. Legal services reviews all new regulations. So this review may be coming from a request. It may not be coming from a request when we're talking about the prime sponsor being involved. The other thing you need to know, and I will, again, allow Lisa to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that if you request a review, that communication between you and legal services is confidential even from your other legislators. So if there's a problem with, say, you know, we're using Representative Seaton as an example, a problem with his legislation a problem with the regulations that came out of his legislation, and he's notified of that, I don't believe he would be notified that Representative Johansson was the one that began the review process. Now, I will allow legal services to correct that, but I don't believe that that is something that will cross confidentiality. I don't know. I'll be quiet and allow Lisa to say her piece.
Lisa?
This is Lisa Kirsch. Ms. Munson is essentially correct. The only thing that I would add to that is that, you know, it depends on how your request comes in. You know, if a request comes into us as a request for an opinion, the memo that comes out is confidential to the requester and would not be part of this process. If the memo comes out as a product of the ordinary course of reviewing all newly enacted or regulations that are proposed, then it would in fact go to the people on the list on page two.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Keller.
Mr. Chairman, can I follow up?
Oh, yes.
Briefly, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that I understand exactly how this was going to work. So it's good that we're all protected by client attorney, client privilege, et cetera, but at some point, the prime sponsor is going to get notification that I am having problems with how the regulations are being implemented as a requester. The prime sponsor is going to get the same thing. I guess at some point we're going to end up in a room together as the only two people left who care about this. And we're going to be staring at each other, and he's going to be going, what's your problem? But I don't know. It just seems like we're just playing poker, we're just another poker game that we're going to end up playing, but that's how we play, so I suppose that's the way it's going to work. I don't know. I guess maybe I don't understand what's going on, but that's okay.
The river in trouble.
I'll retract my question other than to say that I think some of our discussion is beyond the scope of the bill. I'm ready to move the bill. But.
Okay, Representative Wilson.
He went into more detail and that answered my question.
Very good. Is there anybody else online who would like to testify on this bill? Anybody in the audience would like to testify on this bill? I'm going to close testimony. Representative Grunberg, and then I'm going to request a motion after that.
Sure, of course.
Representative Grunberg.
Okay. This is a question to Ms. Kirsch. Looking at Section 2, applicability, the Act applies to review of proposed regs pending with LAA on the effective date of the Act for which public comment period has not expired, regardless of when the notice was received. To Ms. Kirsch, do you get regulations prior to the expiration of the public comment period?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, yes, we do.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you very much. Like, did you have another comment? Yeah. I'm going to start moving the bill here. Go ahead, Representative Seat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just, under discussion, I just want to bring up to make sure that we're communicating to the next committee that I would like them to look carefully at the expansion of the confidentiality when this goes to non-members of the Reg Review Committee and whether that implies anything for our procedures and systems. So other than that, I'm comfortable moving.
And three of us are, in fact, on the Judiciary Committee. Representative Grunberg.
I will need to get that fleshed out a little bit. Please, if you could just talk to me or if you guys want me to do this, or if you want
you
to do
talk to whoever you want to.
Yeah, because I'm not sure I totally understand what you want. Yeah.
Representative Keller.
Thank you. If I could, will you, Mr. Chair, would you indulge me one request to the least of Ms. Kirsch?
I shall.
Ms. Kirsch, would you, when it goes to judiciary, when this bill goes to judiciary, would you give us a description of what our prime co-sponsor is? As I heard some of the questions and discussion today, I'm realizing that I have a far different understanding, evidently, what our prime co-sponsor is than what others on the committee might have, which kind of surprises me that. And I'm wondering if it's me or them. And I think it's outside of the scope of this bill at some level, but I think it's something we can handle in judiciary as far as it does apply to the bill. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
And before we do that, Representative Duran did have a quickie.
Yeah, thank you.
A tweaking comment.
No, not at all. I like the idea of the bill. I really do. The regulation process is very frustrating for a lot of people that I represent. I know the former chair of Regulation Review has a lot more experience in it, but I like the idea and the concept of saying, you know, you pass this bill, we're going to call you up when things are going on, because the complete and total motivation behind the bill lies solely with the sponsor, nobody else. Nobody else introduces legislation. I mean, that is their piece of legislation, and they need to be part of the process when things are looked at. So I really support the concept. I just wanted to get my head around exactly what the words, as they're arranged on paper in certain ways, end up meaning. So I appreciate the sponsor bringing this forward.
Thank you very much, and I agree. We're going to go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 169 LS0559er/alpha with individual recommendations from committee.
Okay. Without objection, the bill moves from committee. Thank you, Representative Gatto, for bringing the bill before us, and thank you, Sarah Munson. Another superb job there. I appreciate that. Our next meeting is going to be on Thursday. We're going to be hearing the famous HB 88 use of foreign law, we may hear if HB 162 photo identification, depending upon information we may receive today. And so, any other business to come before the committee? If not, I'd like to thank you for a good hearing. We are adjourned.